Good morning and welcome to worship on this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. A special word of welcome to those joining us from home and to our friends at the Springs. Today we want to give thanks to God for our Stephen ministers, Stephen leaders who have been part of our Stephen ministry for over, some of them for many years. The ministry at Central has been for 30 years, so 3 decades of Stephen ministry at Central, and we want to give thanks to God for that important ministry. You'll hear more about that in our life together. At this time, I invite all who are able to stand for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, almighty and eternal God, you show your perpetual loving kindness to your servant. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
Is from the third chapter of Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very disappointing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made himself a booth there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be so angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day will I bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness.
One generation shall
majesty and all your marvelous works.
They shall tell of the might of your wondrous acts, and I will recount your greatness.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing joyfully of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of mercy.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 30. Paul writes, "For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but for suffering with him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have, the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
According to Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. And when he went out again about noon and 3 o'clock, he did the same. And at about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one's hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usually daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. For our meditation today, I'd like to focus on that second last verse. Are you envious because I'm generous? And to explore it, I want to tell you a story. I have spoken very many times from this pulpit about my life growing up on a farm in Mount Angel. What I've not talked about nearly as much is when we left. We left because it was fiscally not possible to run the farm as a business anymore. My dad already had to work a second job just to try to make things float, and eventually it got a little bit silly. So in 1994, my parents decided they're going to stop trying to run this as a business, and the place is still in the family, and it's all rented out, but it hasn't been run as an independent business since then. And it actually turned out to be a really good thing for my family that we moved away. So it's far less a tragedy and that this had happened, and not to mention that I don't have to work the farm anymore. But what caused the business to fail was varied, and there were some opportunities that we didn't take advantage of, some bad decisions that were costly, some simple bad luck. But really, the root cause was a lot simpler. Our farm simply wasn't big enough. The farm was originally bought by my great-great-grandfather around the turn of the 20th century, and it was only 60 acres because that's as much as one person could farm with a horse. They later acquired 35 acres, and we sometimes rented different things. But 95 acres in modern farming is simply not enough space. But when a generational business like that shuts down, whenever family gather, there seems to be a topic that always comes up, a kind of post-mortem, trying to figure out what happened and what could we have done differently. I once remember at one of these inevitable meetings, my grandmother asking, "So why do you suppose our farm never really grew in size, but the neighbors grew so large?" And she was referring to a family in the church who had a farm about the same size and time as ours and is now about 800 acres and a very thriving business, mostly in hops. And Grandma further said, "So do you think they worked the land so much harder than us or took more risks?" And I remember my dad kind of laughing and said, "Well, I have no idea what kind of risks they took, but I can guarantee they didn't work any harder than we did. When you're a farmer, you just put all your time into this." But what my grandmother did when we talked about that is probably the most natural thing in the world. We look at a relative correlate to ourselves, in this case another farm that was the same size, and then we compare to see how we're doing as compared to them. Notice that in the conversation, what we weren't talking about was, "So was our farm, how was it doing taking care of our family, and how was their farm taking care of their family?" Instead, it was simply a comparison. What about ours and theirs? And I tell that story because it always sticks with me, that seemingly natural way that we want to compare what we have with what others have. And our focus in the gospel reading is on comparison. In this parable, as soon as the owner pays the laborers who worked less, the ones who worked all day, it says, grumbled. Well, and of course, what did they do? They compared what they received with what we received. And in life, the way we often understand even who we are is through comparison. Often that's where we measure whether or not we're prospering or suffering. Because after all, if everyone goes through something, absolutely everyone, we often don't even call it suffering. We just call it life. We don't, for example, usually call our dependency on oxygen a terrible suffering. It's just what we have. But when I'm experiencing a problem and someone else is not, now we have suffering. And why is it I got this and you didn't? And what we call suffering is so frequently just variance. I seem to be and feel singled out for unusual problems other people don't have to deal with. That's the negative side, but of course it also fits with success. I feel gratitude when I receive something most people don't receive. I see myself then as especially valued. It's all about comparison. And in this passage, comparison is what leads them to grumble. They don't think it's fair. And then at the end, the landowner says, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" Now, I want to do something I don't usually recommend. I want to retranslate that for you. What the New Revised Standard Version here is not wrong, but I think it might miss something. More literally, it says, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" The evil eye is a concept in the ancient world that they believed that the eyes were a passageway through the soul. And so if evil was stemming up with you, it would come outward through the eyes. That's where that phrase comes through. So the landowner says, "Are you now extending out sin and evil into the world because I am good?" See, these laborers have gotten completely caught up in this game of comparison. Notice the pronoun in that exchange. "Is your eye evil because I am good?" Now, how is your eye going bad for something you have nothing to do with? It's the landowner who's doing the action. You're simply bystanders. Why are you struggling with this? It doesn't have anything to do with you. But of course, it feels like it has everything to do with us. But perhaps we can slow down a bit in this parable and look at what it is this landowner has actually done. The workers are all paid a daily wage, a denarius. No more than that. No one is given abundance here. What they're given is what a person needed to earn in order to make it in that society. That's it. It's not more than that. It's like unto what we pray every week in the Lord's Prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." Not our weekly or monthly bread, our daily bread. So when those laborers who worked only a few hours, or indeed even just the one last hour, received this payment, they're receiving what they needed to make it that day. And here is why I like to translate this passage differently. Rather than saying, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" Instead of saying, "Is your eye evil because I'm good?" And the reason I hesitate with that generous language is, do we really call it being generous simply providing what a person needs? It's not giving lavishly. It's simply providing their daily bread. And perhaps, you know, there are many ways to read parables, but one I've always felt red herring in this parable is all this stuff about work and pay at all. Perhaps if the point never had much to do with how much we work for how much we're rewarded, what if the point is simply receiving what we need? The owner is called good. The one who wants to supply all with what they need that day. Earlier it says when he speaks to some who'd come in the middle of the day, he said, "I will pay you whatever is right." Notice those value judgments, good and right. That's what it is to provide what one needs. It's our human problem that we live in comparison. We live as sinful humans who can't help but compare who we are to everyone else. And here I think it's vitally important to remember that this is a parable about the kingdom of God. Jesus is speaking spiritually. And while surely part of the spiritual in our world today does relate to material needs, Jesus is also speaking about our spiritual needs. How we all receive what we need to be in full relationship with God. And I emphasize that because not everyone on this earth, or maybe in this gathering even, does indeed receive everything they need for their material needs. But they certainly do for their spiritual needs. Jesus assures us that his incarnation, that because God has become human, died on the cross, and then rose again, our sinful self, that person who couldn't help but compare who I am as compared to who they are, that self has died on the cross with Christ in our baptism. And born anew is a new creation, a new kind of being human, now in Christ. In Christ, we have everything we need for full relationship with God. And that is not something we store up in barns with volumes and volumes for the future, but is instead our daily bread. It is what is present for us right now, today. Rather than this parable just being about fairness and equity, it's also about God being exactly where you are right now. No one else is exactly where you are this day, but God is there with you, providing all you need to be in full relationship with God through God's continued abiding love, because God is good. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was crucified by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Remembering the compassion and works of God, we pray for the church, the whole creation, and any in need. After each petition, as we pray, merciful God, please respond, hear our prayer. Gracious God, empower your church to be a place of welcome. We give you thanks for our unity in Christ and for the faithful who seek to follow your ways. Challenge your church to show mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with you. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Creator God, help us to care for the earth and all its creatures. We give you thanks for the blessings of plants and trees, lakes and seas, earth and sky, and the beauty of all living things. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Almighty God, impart your compassionate wisdom to leaders of all nations, that they might seek peaceful and just resolutions, especially in times of and places of conflict. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, inspire us to find joy in our various vocations and in our mission of being Christ's hands and feet by loving, nurturing, serving, and sharing. We give you thanks this day for Central Stephen Ministry, and we ask you to guide and support all of our Stephen ministers and all those who receive their care. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Comforting God, make your presence known to all who are in despair or pain. Bring healing to those who are sick and suffering. Today we remember before you Robin Babb, Carlin Campbell, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Dal Haverland, Doug and Jody Martin, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus. For whom else do the people pray? For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the saints who now find their rest in your splendor. Bring healing and comfort to all who mourn. Sustain us in our faith until we are reunited with all of our loved ones who have joined the church triumphant. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace now with one another and wave to the people from home and our friends at the springs with a sign of peace. Now, a few words about our life together. As I mentioned briefly at the welcome, today we're celebrating Central Stephen Ministry, a ministry that has been going on for over 30 years. Now, I realize that some of you may not know exactly what Stephen Ministry is or what a Stephen minister does. And so today, as we celebrate this ministry, we invite you to attend a breakfast that is hosted by the Stephen ministers. And they, along with our children, will be serving you. So please enter into the parish hall after the service. Find a table. Fill those tables closest to the front, if you would. And you will be served a delicious and delightful breakfast. And that's where you will hear more about Stephen Ministry and the ways and opportunities we have to support that, to be a care receiver from one of the caregivers, or to become a Stephen minister as we enter into a new season of training that will start in January. You'll hear all about it in the parish hall. Please stay. And now, before I go on to the next announcement, I'd like to invite, I know some are in the parish hall setting up, but those that are present, would you stand if you are currently a Stephen minister? Would you please stand? I know we have some in the balcony too. And also, those who have been a Stephen minister over the years, and not currently, but please stand as well. Thank you. And I also know from home, Betsy Berg, there are others, but thank you for the ministry that you've shared. As I mentioned, you'll see others in the parish hall. They're busily setting up the breakfast and cooking the food. I can even smell it coming in here. Also, this afternoon at 4 p.m., you're invited to return for an organ concert featuring Amanda Mole. Invite you to that delightful recital that she will present. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating the Feast of St. Francis during worship with the annual Blessing of the Animals. And I mention that today because if you want to bring a companion to church, a four-footed friend, or another beloved pet, maybe they're a bird or another animal that doesn't have 4 feet, but you can bring them to worship with you next Sunday at either service, and we will have a blessing during the service. If, however, you or you know of somebody that would like their companion blessed, you can join us between 12 and 12:30 in the parking lot following the second service. So if that's of interest to you, please stop by during that time. Plans are well underway for Central United and Emmaus to gather for a day-long retreat at Camp Lutherwood. This is an intergenerational experience. We want people of all ages. There will be something for everybody, and it will be a time of recreation, recreation, class time of learning, growing in faith, games for the children. So please plan on coming on October 21st. The registrations are needed as soon as possible so that we can get a head count for the meals. So you'll find that information today when you receive the weekly events of Our Life Together, and that can be found in your inbox. If you don't receive those and you wish to be on that mailing list, please talk to Pastor Ben or myself. You can also check out the website welcometocentral.org, and there's more information there. Finally, next week we'll begin a class during the PACE hour, the education hour between services from 9:45 to 10:45. And in that class, we're targeting those who may be considering joining the church, that is, joining Central Lutheran Church as members, but it's also for people who have been members for a short time or so long you can't even remember how long it is. It'll be for all of us to come together to discover more ways to be engaged in our life together here and out in the world. So encourage you to plan on attending those. We will be receiving new members on the last Sunday of October, Reformation Sunday. So please let Pastor Ben or myself know if you are interested in membership. With those announcements, we'll continue with the offertory, and we invite your generosity as you come forward for communion. The plates are at the front of the pews.
Praise the Lord, we know we stand as faith in Christ. We hold strong faith.
power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. Please be seated, and as soon as the worship leaders are in place, and all the worship leaders today are Stephen ministers, as soon as we're in place, we'll invite you to come down the center aisle and receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then dip it into the cup.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Jesus Christ, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet table, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please stand as you're able for the benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. So please just sit at the table and wait to be served.
corn.